Second quarter Chinese economic growth has hit a 27-year low of 6.2% as expected, but it's the economy's quarterly growth reading of 1.6% coming in ahead of forecasts, along with its June reports on industrial production, retail sales and urban investment that's stealing attention. Joining me to figure out whether markets have grabbed the right end of the stick is CEO of GS Investments, Glenn Silverman. Thanks so much, Glenn, for joining us this evening. So lackluster Chinese economic data coming through for the second quarter, but investors choosing to focus on, as I say, the positives for now. How have you interpreted it all?
Yeah, I don't think there's much to interpret. I think it was very much in line with consensus, very much in line with the band that the Chinese government has set between 6 and 6.5%. I think Chinese growth will continue to slow. That would be my take. But if it's this type of slowdown from 6.3 to 6.2 to 6.1, neither here nor there.
There are those who remain skeptical on the kind of data that comes out of China and those who question any sustainability of the growth moving forward. How much of this having to do with the government support, the figures that we've seen at the moment, especially if you consider retail sales and industrial production, they are looking a lot better than had been expected.
So I'm in the camp of the skeptics when it comes to the data, and it's not just China, India and others. You know, you have to question the macro data that's released. So I remain on the more skeptical side. But yes, there were one or two better numbers within, which are, I think, somewhat surprising, actually showing some internal strength, which is kind of nice. But again, I think those numbers were slow. And there are other important numbers like debt, which is not focused on when you look at the GDP numbers, but those debt numbers are high and understated.
Yeah, I ask the question because, like I say, it's government support that has been leaned on quite emphatically. And right now the big question is whether numbers like these coming through see policymakers ease back on the monetary and fiscal stimulus measures that were deemed largely responsible. What's your view?
Well, I think that's exactly right. I mean, at this point in time, markets only care about what governments and central bankers do. So you've asked exactly the right questions. And obviously, to the extent that the authorities are worried about growth, they're going to stimulate. I don't think they're particularly concerned. I don't think they should be particularly concerned because this is such a consensus number and the slowdown was very minute. But remember, when they have stimulated, they have increased their debt levels and created other consequences, unintended or otherwise, in the economy, etc. So I think they're reluctant. I think preferably they'd like to not intervene too much. They haven't been intervening too much, and I think that's the right policy.
Do you see the negative consequences coming back to bite sooner rather than later?
So anyone who's made that prediction has been wrong. So there's something about these unintended consequences that takes a lot longer. And it's the Fed cutting interest rates and considering quantitative easing, etc. It's also, it's been 10 years now since the global financial crisis, and all the predictions of the end of the world have not come nigh. So I'd say probably later rather than sooner.
Okay. Is this even taking into consideration this new spanner in the works that's hit, and that, of course, being this very tumultuous trade talks between the U.S. and China?
It's interesting because I don't see in the numbers a hell of a lot of impact of the trade, and that may still come, you know, down the line, etc. Things could get worse, things could get better as well. So I agree, the trade wars is what people have been speaking about. It's not had an enormous impact at this point in time. I think it actually talks to something much bigger, though, and that's the Cold War that exists between China and the States, and I think that's an important war, and I think that fights out over a long period of time, and I think this is just the early foray. So that could have a much bigger consequence, but for now, not very apparent in the numbers.
As far as trade negotiations are concerned, reports have surfaced that Washington may now approve licenses for companies to restart new sales to Huawei, for example, in as little as 2 weeks. How are you feeling about, you know, where things settle and whether we're underestimating the fact that this could well end amicably?
It could well end that way. I mean, once you're dealing with someone like Trump, who really, you know, takes but he also takes all the air out of the room. I mean, he just dominates proceedings and seems to get on a very high horse in one direction, and it can be days or weeks later where he decides to reverse that type of a tone, etc. I mean, he's made it very clear that he wants a very strong U.S. stock market, and anything that impacts on that, he believes will impact on his election prospects, and he doesn't want that to happen. So I'm actually sometimes surprised that he's almost doing the right thing but harming that particular prospect. And then he wilts, and then he goes back to making sure that we talk the good talk and we...
And almost, seeing us face a scenario of cutting your nose to spite your face, because I was chatting to Rob Tal a little earlier, and he says the Chinese economy, moving ahead despite this. We're seeing, yes, imports come to a bit of a halt, but this economy managing to sustain things on its own nevertheless, pointing to graver implications for a broader global economy.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think that there's a sense that it goes broad, and what are the impacts in other areas. For now, the impact's not been seen on either economy, actually. But the markets don't like the bluster, they don't like the talk. But the markets have huge impact as well, because the moment they start to react to these things, then the policymakers change, and then Trump's tone changes, and then he reverses direction. That's why it's been a very nice place to be for markets typically.
Absolutely. Well, let's leave it there, Glenn. Always a pleasure. Thanks so much for having joined us in studio this evening. That, of course, CEO of GS Investments, Glenn Silverman.